So we begin Parashas Bo'i with Makkah number 8, the Makkah of Arba, these locusts. It's interesting in Posuk Gimel, interesting expression. Perek Yud Posuk Gimel. Uleman tasape b'ozne bincho ben bincho is asher his alalti b'mitzrayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Moshe Rabbeinu there's going to be something about Makkas Arbe. As Rashi says, his alalti means sichakti. I played around with him. What, in what way is the Makkah of Arbe making more of a playing around? It's the only one of the Makkas that we find this expression that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm playing around with Paroi now. We're playing games. What was unique about the Makkah of Arba that this was called playing around with it, with Paroi? Question number 2 is, when Paroi has had enough, a little later, Pasuk Yud Zayin, we find Paroi says, you know, call Moshe, please daven to Hashem, the Yoser me'olai, he should remove from me Rak es hamoves hazeh, this death. You know, Le'elenu Bayidin, we talk about Yena Machla. We don't want to say the word. Was Paroi didn't want to use the dreaded word, locusts. In Sephardea, he didn't mind saying, please remove the locusts. In Borod, he didn't mind, please remove the Borod. And two questions. Number one, why this expression of playing around? And number 2, why do we find Paroi doesn't want to say the word Arbe? I saw in a sefer, it's called the Talmud Biyodai. I used to remember it to Israel. He says in Trasantazach, the pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu takedavened over there, in pasuk Yotes, loy nishar Arbe echod b'chil gvul Mitzrayim. Not one state. And Rashi says, Loi nishar arbe echod means af hamaluchim, even the salted ones. In brackets, there's a very interesting malbim and netziv over here. We have two words in the Torah for leftovers. We have nishar, and with korbanos we have an expression of noiso. They both mean to leftover. What leave over? What's the difference? Noiso and nishar. Both the malbim and the netziv say, noiso is what's leftovers. The cholent on Sunday lunch is noisor. You don't make cholent with some nishar for Sunday lunch. The cholent is noisor. Nishar is when we do something and we leave something over. The apiklamen is nishar for the end. A korban we mustn't even just leave over. And over here the pasuk says, Loi nishar arbe echod. Not even one locust was nishar. That means specifically set aside. This is how Chazal knew that we're referring here to locusts which were designated. And even those which had been salted and pickled, even those were taken away. We understand what's going on over here. Paroi gets a punishment. The locusts. The Egyptians get a punishment, the locusts. And then they decide, you know what? We're getting hungry. There's no food left in Mitzrayim. We're going to make a bit of food out of this. So there's not many commodities left. There's not much left in the shelves are empty in the shops. So they fuff around. They find a bit of salt, which is very precious. And they take some of these locusts and they salt them. Pickle them. Now, let's just give an example, maybe some people can identify with. Let's picture a Rebbe in a classroom, and there's a boy suddenly, whoo, there's pellets flying across the room. So he says, 400 lines, I must not throw pellets across the room. Here we are, he tears out 2 pages, 100 on each side, off you go, by tomorrow morning. Okay. The Rebbe notices the boy sits down in his place, and he's under the desk. The boy starts writing. And the Rebbe's standing there. He can see. 1, I must not. 2, 3. Now there are two types of rebbes. There's one type of rebbe who will go immediately over to him. I'll have that paper, please. Rips it up. Make this was a punishment work. Do it tomorrow. There's another type of rebbe who will let him write. Fill up one page, 100. Turn it over, 200. Turn it over, 300. 350, 360, 380, 390. At 395, the rebbe says, I'll have that paper. Thank you. Now do 400 for tomorrow morning. The second rebbe is making him, you think you're trying to fool me? You think I didn't know what you were doing? Do you know what? I'll play along with you, and yet you think you're getting the better of me, and then I'll teach you, then the lesson's even harder. What's happening over here? The Ribbono Shel Olam sends locusts. Now this is a punishment. So the Mitzrim come along and they say, punishment? We're going to make some food out of this. So they go scrambling around and they take a bit of precious commodity, a bit of salt, and they start pickling some in the jars. Now Moshe Rabbeinu could have warned them. The Rebbeinu says, he's alati. I'm going to make a play a game with you. I'm going to let you mess around as if you are a step ahead of me and turning this punishment into a toy, into food. And then even those are going to fly away. That's called hisalalti. That's called sichakti. I'm making a fool of you. And this is why, amazingly, why in Pasuk Yud Zayin, the second question was, Paray said, me'olai rakes amoves hazeh. The question was, why didn't he say locusts? Because he didn't want Moshe to remove all the locusts, because they wanted to, they had some pickled. So he said, Rakes amoves hazeh, I want to take away the punishment of it, that which is killing me, I want you to take away. But the ones over there, I want to keep. No, the Rebbeinu says none of that. They're all flying out. Absolutely amazing. A little umkus over here. Absolutely amazing. Little further, we go into Choshech. Going to the darkness. The lesson, of course, of this is, I mean, of the Arbet, when the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to us, we're supposed to be learning the lessons, not trying to fight the system. Okay, you want to fight, you know, shall we wage off? I'll flex my muscles? We're supposed to come, okay, Ribbono Shel Olam, I appreciate. I've done something wrong, and this is a punishment, and I'm going to do tshuva and accept it. Not try and twist it, or what's supposed to be a punishment for our benefit. We get to the Choshech, we get to the darkness, and in Pasuk Chof Beis, there was Choshech for 3 days. And Rashi tells us why it was 3 days. And one of the Pshatim is in Pasuk Chof Beis, because the Yisrael Ba'isei Hadoyer were Rashoim, V'loi Ha'yuroitzim Lotzeis. The Rishonim, they were Rishonim, didn't want to go, 4/5 died. Do you know what this means? 4/5? For every one person you knew, there were 4 who died. This is a tragedy. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, Rabbi Yaakov could talk. He was a Yid who went through the Second World War. And he said, we go through a Holocaust and people turn around and say, where's the Ribbono Shel Olam? Well, this doesn't look like Golus to us. And Rabbi Yaakov says, let's imagine what went on in Mitzrayim. Let's imagine. There was a bitter Holocaust. There was murders, cold-blooded slaughters, torture. And then along comes Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yisai, there's going to be a Geula. Dom, Sefadea, Kinim. They even start lifting up their spirits. Arbe. Then comes Choshech. Moshe, this is a Holocaust. This is not called Geula. 4/5. Millions of Yidden. Millions. This doesn't look like much of a Geula. And we know a little bit of patience. Straight after the Choshech, Makas Machus, straight out of Mitzrayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam understood we need a bit of purification over here. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, this is the answer. This was the post-Holocaust years. We don't understand the full picture. And sometimes, just before the complete Geula, The Ribbono Shel Olam has to do a purification of one reason or another. We're not Chas V'Shalom saying that anybody who died in the Holocaust was falls into this category of Rishayim Malor Yolira. So Lot says Chas V'Shalom, but it's supposed to be a Chizuk in Emunah that we see sometimes before the Geula comes. Yeah, the Ribbono Shel Olam has to do some sifting around. I know a Yid who gave a shit in a certain Beis HaMedrash somewhere, and he mentioned that a number, many Sfarim say that Lo'osid Lo'boy also, only one out of five is going to come out. So he states in some Sfarim, there's purification process. To be honest, if we look at today's intermarriage rates, and if we discount all those who don't even know they're Jewish, and those who have the Jewish, that's what he said. After the shit, a fellow walks out. I heard this from a fellow at the shit. Somebody walks out and he turns to his neighbor and he says, but I'm confident I'm in the top fifth. I think you should sit down again. Rabbi, do you know where to find Hilchas Yala V'Yovo in Mishnah Berurah? Can I ask you a Shaila Nechas Shabbos or Nechas Tzitzis maybe? What, you're so overconfident you're in the top fifth? This ought to... We have Rabbi Yaakov's chizuk, but we've got work to do to make sure that before we pat ourselves on our backs where we are. We don't know exactly where we are in the system. We can't, there's no self-grading over here. Self-assessment isn't accepted up there. There's different types of accounting, and we've got to make sure we can stand up to it. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a meridik kasha over here. We know that when the Yidden get to the Yam Suf, they're standing at the Yam Suf, and the Malochim have got a taina. You want to do nisim for the Yidden? Halalu evde avodah zarah, v'halalu evde avodah zarah. These serve avodah zarah, the Yidden, and the Mitzrim serve avodah zarah. So why should you drown the Mitzrim and save the Yidden? Fretu b'Yakiv Kamenetsky and Emes Le'Yakiv, I don't understand. The Rishoyim died in Choshech. So who gets out? The tzaddikim. So what are the malachim complaining about when you get to Kriyas Yam Suf? No, not these. These aren't the avodah zarah. These are perfect. These are the Eden. These are kvaldik. Tzaddikim. It's a peladik kasha. It's a bomba kasha. Rabbi Yaakov says a hascholas devarim, a teretz, which is not in completion. I'll tell you what he says. He says, these were Rishoyim Shaloi Rotsu Lotseis. These are different types of Rishoyim. These Rishoyim didn't want to go out. Those Rishoyim were Eidei Avodah Zarah. He says a little bit more. It's still not clear exactly what Rabbi Yaakov means with his teretz. And I had an argument with somebody 3 years ago, four years ago, exactly what Rabbi Yaakov means with his teretz. It's mavur in the ksavim of Rabbi Yaakov. His shitta was, very often, he didn't speak at things out to the very end. So he started things going, I'll come back to it. He wanted people to develop it themselves. He didn't want to spoon feed. 2 years ago, in Shvat, here in Manchester, we were privileged to have the Gaon, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky was here, came to Beis Talmud one afternoon. It's a tremendous, tremendous gadlus, tremendous chus for the town. Just a teeny weeny little glimpse. Reb Shmuel's flight, American flight, like most flights, landed 8-9 o'clock in the morning, the transatlantic flights. His host drove out to the airport to meet him, but there was an accident on the M60 and he was held up. Half an hour, three quarters of an hour. Reb Shmuel, a Yidin, 90 years old, in his 90s, with his luggage, was standing there waiting. So somebody went off and fetched a chair for him to sit down. So Reb Shmuel turned to him, and he said, I really appreciate you brought me a chair, but just tell me, where did you get the chair from? So he said, what's the problem? Just over there, the restaurant, the cafe over there. So Reb Shmuel said, but that's for the cafe, the restaurant. That's for people who buy food and drinks to sit on. This is not just for general passengers in the airport. So the fellow went back and he asked permission. Oh, and then Reb Shmuel sat down on the chair. The 90-year-old man who's just had a transatlantic flight, he's not slept because of the flight, because of his jet lag, for him it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and he wouldn't sit down on a chair because that's not what the chairs are there for. A little glimpse into a Godel b'Yisrael that we're so privileged to have. Al Kaponim, when he came into Beis HaTalmud after Mincha, I was a bit cheeky and I squashed in and I asked him about this vot and I said Rabbi Yaakov isn't quite clear exactly how what the teretz is to the question. So he said, is as vos. So I said, well, I've had a bikua, vos halfto. Well, what do I think is a pshat? So I told him my pshat. So he said, yo, that's what the tata gemeint. Yo, that's what his father meant. I told you, give all the guys, comma, in my name is Liakim, I've scribbled on the side in pencil, ubishvat toshina in sign, zochisi lahaskoma from Shmuel, this is Rabbi Yaakov's teretz. Listen, it's so important, it's neirav oyim. But, so what's the question? We have 4/5 in Mitzrayim who are called Rishoyim, they don't want to go and they die. And yet, we have a large chilek of Klal Yisrael at the Yam Suf, and the Malachim say these are Evdei Avodah Zarah, and they don't die in Choshech. What are these two types of Rishayim? We have to appreciate what is happening over here at Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's crystallizing here is Klal Yisrael is becoming the Am HaNivchor. We're coming out of Mitzrayim. We're becoming a nation. Now, part of being Am HaNivcho is Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu Emes. What Moshe Rabbeinu says, that is it. That's the beginning and that's the end. Why didn't they want to go? Well, you want to stay there? Can you imagine the American soldiers coming to Auschwitz and they say, come, we're going. They said, no, here they give a black water at 3 o'clock in the morning, which they call coffee, so I want to stay. And what do you want to stay for? What do you want to do? Why didn't they want to go? They didn't want to go because they knew there was a gezeira of Arba Meis Shama. 400 years. It's not yet the time. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going. And they said, it's Moshe, we want to go. Of course we want to go. But not yet. A few years ago, the Bnei Menashe, thousands, had a different calculation and they wanted to go and they went early and they were all killed. It's not yet the time. Moshe, we want to go, but not yet. Vazot Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a nevuah from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now's the time to go. I 400 years. Yeah, that's not a kasha. If you count from when Yitzchok was born, it's already 400 years. All the koshi ashibud, the work was so hard, that makes up for it. Quality versus quantity. There's a cheshbon. 400. This means 400. And they said, no, Moshe, we hear the lomdus, that 400 means 400. We don't want to take the risk. We don't want to go yet. Now, if somebody turns around to Moshe Rabbeinu and says that, they have no right to go out of Mitzrayim. Because what's going to happen? You're going to get the Torah. And it says in Torah, what are you going to do? I put tefillin on my hand, and I'll put my tefillin on the pimple at the top of my nose between my eyes. And Moshe Rabbeinu will come along and say, no, it doesn't mean that. The hand doesn't mean the hand. The hand means the arm. And between your eyes doesn't mean over here. It means, well, there used to be, up there. That's where it should be. If somebody's not going to accept Moshe Rabbeinu's pshat in 400 years, he's got nothing to come out of Mitzrayim for. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu tells him what anaf eight ovois means, it means a hodos, we'll say, I think it means a tulip. Who told you? What's happening here when Klal Yisrael is becoming the Am HaNivcho, we need to accept Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu Emes. And when Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is Pshat in 400, and now it's time to go, well then it's time to go. And you pack your bags and you go. If you don't want to accept that from Moshe Rabbeinu, you have nothing to come out of Mitzrayim for. And they died in Choshech. The other 5th, they might have been Baalei Aveira. They were oitei avodah zarah. But they were prepared to accept what Moshe Rabbeinu says. If someone's prepared to accept what Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's hope for him. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the Rabbein Shem says, right now they oitei avodah zarah, but they're gonna take off, because they're gonna follow Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what happened. A mere 7 weeks later, they were on a madriga ready for Kabbalah Satayr. So the answer, the difference between, there were two types of Rishayim. The first type of Rishayim were arguing, unaccepting what Moshe Rabbeinu's explanation, now is the time to go. And somebody who cannot accept that has no license to leave me. You've got nothing to come out for, because it's just going to be one fight after another. The ones who are prepared to accept what Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you're prepared to accept what Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're entitled to go. They got to the Yam Suf. Now the Malachim have got a taino. They listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Big deal. But they go, there's all sorts of other avirus. Now the Rebbein Shem says, don't worry about that. And this is another very, very, very important limud for us. Because so much is obscured. We have a certain amount which is black and white in Shulchan Aruch. A certain amount which is black and white in Torah. But there is so much which isn't. There is so much as the world develops and new things come along. And of course the outside world tries to portray us as cavemen and old-fashioned, living in the dark Middle Ages. And we're the most forward-thinking people. But we need guidance. Well, they came to Shlomo Zalman with a microwave. Is it mutter? Is it bishul deraisa on Shabbos or not? This is a new type of bishul. Moving molecules around with rays. This is not, there's no source of heat over here. And there's nafkamin. Of course, it's not mutter on Shabbos. But for a chile, is it deraisa? Is it terabonon? We have gedolei hador. He opened the Yerushalmi in Trumas and he proved it from there. That microwave should be Issa Mila Torah on Shabbos. Ain't Chodosh Tachsa Shemesh. It's all in Chazal. Yerushalmi doesn't say the word microwave, I guarantee you. If you and I look there, we won't see it. Shlomo Zalman saw it. He knew we had Gedolim. But the key is, are we accepting the authority of Gedolim? When they say things, if it's things we understand and agree to, that's no big shtick. Rabbi says, the Rav also said that. Well, I also understand that. There's an interesting lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, a few places in Sh'as, the Machleks in the one says, Milz da'asya bekal v'chayme, torach v'chosav lokro. Sometimes it can happen, we have something which is learned from, could have been learned from a kal v'chayme, and nevertheless, the Torah speaks about it. And this is a big castle. Why should we say that? We know every letter of the Torah, every word. And milks of the Asi was something you could have learned out from a Kal V'chaymeh. And nevertheless, the Gemara says it. The Pasuk says it. So the B'nai Sosra, you know why? Because out of all the Yud Gimel Midas, Kal V'chaymeh is a Svar. None of the others are Svaris. It's not Svar. You have a Gezeir Shava, here's a word, that's a word. My logic couldn't have worked that one out. Saluch and Mishim Yisinai. Kal v'chaymeh is a svar. There's even an English word for it. I heard once from a shir of the Ram. English word for a kal v'chaymeh.
A fortiori.
Sorry?
A fortiori.
A fortiori. There we go. Thank you. I can't spell it, but I believe you. It's a svar. It's a svar, a kal v'chaymeh. So, someone comes along with a kal v'chaymeh. So why is the halacha like this? Because my svar says this. It's because the Torah said this, and that's why one man the Omer holds, you can have something that you could have learned out of the Kal V'chaymeh, and the Torah still wrote it. Because we want to know even things we do understand. There are things we don't understand. There's enough we can understand, and we're supposed to understand, but we don't do it because we understand. We do it because the Torah says it. And when we go to a Rav, and the Rav tells us, and I don't seem to understand, and the God will say something and I don't seem to understand, it doesn't add up to me. Well, this is going to be our key to Gula. This was the key to getting out of Mitzrayim then, and this is going to be the key to getting out of our present Gulas. What is a common problem? I'm not pretending that this issue, there's a simple answer for a complex question. But sometimes, we have differences of opinion. And where do we move from there? Okay, so I'll go to a rabbi, and different rabbonim are saying different things. And now where do I go? So when we have the traditional person with his rabbi, and well, that's quite simple. He does whatever his rabbi tells him to do. And then, but life, as we know, isn't so black and white always. There's a very important Meshe Chachma, the first Meshe Chachma on this week's parasha. It's such an important yesod. It doesn't answer all the problems, but sometimes it does. A bit further, in Yud Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. Vayitein Hashem Tzchan Aveinu Mitzrayim. Gam ho'ish Moshe, Godoil Ma'oid, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Be'enei Avdei Faroi, Uve'enei Ho'om. Number one, what's this expression, Ho'ish Moshe? Moshe. What's this title, Ho'ish Moshe? Now, he was Godol Ma'oid, and what are these three things? He was Godol Ma'oid, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Be'enei Avdei Faroi, Uve'enei Ho'om. What are these? What's pshat in this pasuk? Zot the Meshe Chochma, a Yesoid, which is, it's bread and butter, everybody has to know. There are two types of people, Zot the Meshe Chochma, who make it to the top. There's one type of person who's taka solid. He's a special individual. He's a Iska Abbot, a mensch. He's a Talmud Chacham. And he deserves to be at the top. And he's sitting there in the Mizrach. There's another type of fellow who's a good orator. He's got a good search engine when he knows how to find what he needs to be able to rattle them off fluently. And he's a good actor, and he's got a big mouth, and he makes it to the top. He's a very shallow front cover with not much behind him. Zot the Meshe Chochma. So how do we know who's who? How do you sift the men from the boys? Zot the Meshe Chochma. Have a look at the path that took them to the top. The second category impress the masses. The people in the street, they get very easily swayed. Guy's a good speaker and he can go do good things and great and really all the show and all the rest of it impresses the masses and that picks up momentum and then the steam propels these people to the top. The first type, the one made of meat, the masses don't identify, don't see anything special about this person. It's Yechidim. It's Gedolim Be'emes, recognize that's a special person. He's a special man. Just go and speak to him. Ask him his opinion. Go to that person to get bracha. He's special. And Gedolim, recognize Gedolim. Start pinpointing these individuals. And then slowly the word spreads. And only afterwards the masses get brought on board. This is a key, says the Meshe Chochma, to identifying the differences between two people who may be sitting at the top. Have a look how the route, how they got there.
The three categories, you've mentioned two so far.
Correct. Zot the Meshe Chochma. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is amazing. Hocus pocus, and there's frogs and crocodiles, and then there's lions and tigers and all sorts of things, blood and hailstones crashing around. Look, there's a lot to impress people over here by this Moshe Rabbeinu. But what does the discerning eye see? An individual grew up in the lap of royalty. He could have stayed there eating with a golden spoon. At the first opportunity, he's going out. He sees somebody in need. A yid being hit by a mitzri goes to his assistance. Goes the next day, two yidin fighting. He tries to be of assistance, sorts it out. He wants to be of help. He runs away to Midyan. The first thing he does there, girls being chased away, sticks up for them, takes the shepherd, looks after the sheep. We see there's a special character over here. That's what Ish represents. Ho'ish Moshe is pointing out the special. Ish is a lashon of anoshim, which is chashivas. It was the genuine chashivas of the Moshe, not this hocus pocus which could impress the masses. The Ish Moshe, the genuine Gadlus HaAdam, was Godol Ma'oi Be'eretz Mitzrayim. That overtook the whole of Mitzrayim. Ah, you want to know which way around did it go? This was first Be'enei Avdei Paroi. It started off with a Chachomim, those are the wise people, the ones close in the cabinet. And from there it spread Be'enei Ha'om. And from there it filtered down to the masses who wouldn't necessarily have known this. So the Pasuk's telling us over here, the Gadlus of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was the special qualities, the midas of the Ish Moshe, which impressed the whole of Eretz Mitzrayim. And which way did it go? It started off with the Avdei Paroi, and only from there it spread to the masses. This Meshech Chochmah is so contemporary. This is written probably be'erech 100 years ago. But it is so contemporary. When we all know that there are some people in positions of leadership who don't really belong there. It's the masses who have propelled them there for one reason or another. And we need to use, even have a good ashtaka shmek. You didn't have a good sense of smell. And we need to be turning to recognize Gedolim and asking them to pinpoint for us where to turn to next, who to go to next. The Eliezer Chazon Ish was an anonymous person. When they sent letters from Eretz Yisrael in the 1940s to Reb Chaim Oizer in Vilna, Chaim Oizer said, why are you writing to me? There's a young man who's landed over there, go to him. Nobody knew who he was. Reb Chaim Oizer said, go to that anonymous young man. And Chaim Oizer pointed out the Chazon Ish. And then, wasn't the masses? There was nothing about the Chazon Ish that the masses could sense. There was nothing impressive, nothing glamorous. It was Emes Gadlus. And this is a amazing, a very, very, very important Meshech Chochmah, which is really important to bear in mind. We have, of course, the Shtake Limud from the dogs. The dogs kept quiet. Ulochol b'nei Yisroel, lo yecheras keleves l'shoinoi. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. What was their reward? We know in Mishpatim. What was their reward? They got the Nevelas. From now on, they always get Nevelas. What does that mean? What, the dog over here gets the Nevelas from the butcher shop? Why? Because his Zayda wasn't in Egypt. What's that Shaitan if it was? Hakoras HaToiv is for us, not for the dog. Hakoras HaToiv is a midah that we have to practice and internalize. If we owe somebody a thank you, say it with chocolates or flowers. But more important than them receiving the chocolates is for me to give those chocolates. It's my avoida. I have to give the nevela to the dog to remind myself that the dog didn't even bark. And a well-known question is, in last week's parasha, the tzfardea, the frogs, they were missing nefesh. They jumped in the ovens. And we don't find any eternal reward for the frogs. The dogs didn't bark. And the answer is that the Chofetz Chaim, because it's easier to jump in the fire and die al Kiddush Hashem than to live with your mouth shut. That's harder. Keep your mouth shut when you've got something burning to say. And it's harder! Because this is non-stop, day by day by day. There are things which bubble up inside. And we close up our mouth. And that's the limud from the Tzfadeh. I didn't get the reward. It was a one-off jump. One-off jump in the oven. Okay, very good. Recorded in the Torah. To keep your mouth shut when you have an Nisayim, it's hard. It's very hard. We have to daven for Siyata Dishmaya. Use our mouths and all our faculties for the right things. Have a good chance.